Good afternoon, everyone. Call the meeting to order of the Senate Education Committee. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. Today we have Senator Garner, Senator Huggins, Senator Giesel, myself, Senator Dunleavy, and I will anticipate Senator Stevens shortly. The purpose of our meeting today is to hear Senate Bill 79, Reemployment of Retired Teachers and Administrators. Senate Bill 80 and Senate Bill 89, previously scheduled, will not be heard today. So we'll take up Bill 79, Retire, Rehire. This was introduced briefly on Thursday, March 26th. No public testimony was taken. In response to comments from the Division of Retirements and Benefits, a committee substitute has been prepared.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I move this CS for Senate Bill 79 version echo be brought before the committee.
Thank you. I object for discussion. Someone asked Sheila to come forth, and Sheila Peterson, my assistant, to explain the CS and the changes within the bill. Can you please identify yourself for the record, who you're with, and please pull your mic down. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sheila Peterson, staff to Senator Dunleavy. I'd like to thank the Division of Retirement and Benefits for working closely with our office as we drafted this bill. Their suggestions were helpful, and we have incorporated a change that they suggested after we submitted the bill. And this deals with lines, page 1, lines through 5 through 13, specifically lines 7 through 8 on the committee substitute. It clarifies that a member who is in the defined benefit program as well as the defined contribution retirement plan are eligible to be rehired under this provision. It also, on lines 10 through 13, changes the separation between the retiring and the reemployment from 1 year if you're less than 62 years old or 3 months if you're over 62. This follows the guidelines of the IRS, and it is a recommendation of the Division of Retirement and Benefits. Those two changes are the only changes to the original bill.
So,
Mr. Chairman, while you're thinking, I would fall in the 3 months category. I'm not a teacher, but it says over 62, right? That'd be me.
I didn't realize you were over 63, Senator. But so I'm going to remove my objection and can we substitute for Senate Bill 79 version E has been adopted. So let's have a discussion on this. Sheila, I don't know if you may want to say that there may be some discussions for members of the committee. Senator Gardner, she was going to go and grab something real quick. Thank you.
So Section 3 is something that I first read with a little bit of confusion, and I think I understand it, but I wonder if you could just go through those provisions. And basically what I want to ascertain on the record and for certain is whether there's any additional fiscal impact to the state or school districts if somebody is working as a rehired retiree. I think that it's actually less, the total cost to the district, the employer, but let's just go through that and confirm.
Sheila?
Mr. Chair, right now the Division of Retirement Benefit is finalizing their fiscal note, so I don't have an exact answer to that question as far as the fiscal impact to the school district or to the state. But as far as the school district, the intent is that they would be able to contract with a retired teacher or administrator at a lower cost than if it were an active employee.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, the purpose of the bill is to be a tool for school districts. That's the main purpose, for school districts to enlarge their pool of prospective educators that have hopefully a lot of Alaskan experience. That's what this is about, a lot of Alaskan experience. And again, experience as an educator myself, in just conversations with school districts and retired individuals, or those ready to retire, some of them are still willing to give and be part of educational programs that may not be in the district they've been for some time. Oftentimes it's folks in urban areas that would like to go out to rural Alaska and help out and bring their experience to bear. And so, again, it's a tool to expand the pool for school districts. And we're doing our best to work through whatever issues there could be in terms of retirement and benefits, IRS, other agencies that may want to weigh in on it. Any additional questions for members of the committee? Yep. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first I mentioned in our last meeting, the consideration of people that retire under a retirement incentive. All right. In other words, I'm a teacher and I get some sort of kickback, for lack of a better term, if I retire in 2015 and put in my retirement by 1 January, ever how it works out, and then I'm under 62 or I'm over 62 and 3 months later I could be hired back, but I just got paid to get retired, to retire. It just appears to be intuitively something that we should take into account. We're doing this, but that's not a big hurdle. That's easy taken care of. The bigger one, though, if I might, Mr. Chairman, is this is a good idea in my estimation. On the other hand, I think we have to have some comfort that what we're doing is not allowing new teachers to be hired into the system. And I understand, in other words, I retire, I get rehired, and there's somebody that just interviewed that it's their second year in teaching, and said, well, we want this guy that's got all this experience, but we don't want to hire this new person. Somehow we have to have a comfort, in my estimation, of continuing to assess new teachers.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I think what this does is there will be many, many situations, for example, where a brand new teacher brings something to that particular job at that particular time that school district needs, and they're part of that pool. There may be other times where a seasoned individual might also bring something to a particular job at that time in a particular district that maybe that younger person doesn't bring at that time. Maybe, for example, maybe you have a situation where in a small school you have 100% turnover 1 year. They go and they hire new teachers, especially in the fiscal situation, because they cost less. But maybe they want somebody that's retired that has been in a similar situation like that to kind of bring the group together at a lower cost as well. And so in that particular situation, instead of potentially having brand new teachers who are bringing skills that maybe some of us oldies and goldies have left, we don't bring with this, but we bring another skill set, and that's something that may be lacking in a group of new teachers. This really came to light, but once again, with the Mentor Project. You have veteran teachers that would go out to rural Alaska and mentor brand new teachers, new to the profession. And the purpose of that program was to help teachers overcome issues that they wouldn't see coming, that these veteran teachers would see coming, give them a heads up, help them through those situations so that they didn't become obstacles to wanting to remain in the profession. And at the same time, the idea of the Mentor Project was to shrink that time when a brand new teacher becomes effective and the students then benefit from that effectiveness. And what research was showing that in some situations you might have a brand new teacher who's struggling or thrown into a brand new situation in an unfamiliar environment, and it would take them a while to get their feet underneath them, or they never did get their feet underneath them when they left the profession. Again, this is a tool for districts. I think in many, many situations, especially when you're looking at 500 to 700 positions turning over per year in Alaska, mainly in rural Alaska, this gives districts an opportunity to potentially tap into very experienced individuals that the moment they would be contracted could bring something right to that that group of teachers or that school and those kids, and maybe able to do so to reduce costs. But what you're saying, Senator, is it's, what you're saying, there is that there is certainly something to think about there. But I think I think this would be an extra tool. It would be difficult if I was hiring teachers to. It would be better if I was hiring teachers as a tool to know that I could, I could get, like I said, 3-4 brand new teachers, and then bring in a veteran to lead that group, and hopefully make that group a better cadre of teachers for the students in a very short period of time. But again, I think your concerns and questions, I appreciate that, because it's going to help make this a better bill. Senator.
Yeah, and like I said, I'll restate it. I think this is a good idea. The devil's in the details. And the other one, though, and this is in a larger sense, in my experience here in working with education issues, through the years, is that there's been only one occasion when we were able to get superintendents to come forward and say, we collectively want something, right? And of all things, it was insurance pooling. And I would have thought over time what we really had was all these, this program right here. I mean, you were a former superintendent, but having said that, we got lots of active superintendents. So I would hope for lack of a better term, we could use this as bait to start the process of getting superintendents to bring us good ideas forward, because I've looked them in the eyeball and said to them, and they're wonderfully nice people. I said, you're the most educated person, you're the most experienced person, and on and on and on, but we never get any good ideas from you, because you always want to critique what we're trying to do because we don't get any good ideas from you. So if we can have their good ideas come forward on this, that would be a starting point, I hope, for us, because we're trying to help them, but we want their input in helping them. And I don't mean that as critique. I mean that.
Right.
And I'll say one other one. I've become a bit of a skeptic of sometimes education statistics, because when we were going through the debate on retirement systems, and it doesn't matter which one you like, we got multiple of them. And then in the teaching profession, I started hearing the attrition rates, and there were some horror stories. But when you really looked at the statistics and compared apples to apples, it was about like it was under any other system. Defined benefit, defined contribution, you could find a little variance, but there wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whatever we do, I hope we have a broad range of statistics that we're using to support what we're doing, and not just a school solution statistic.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I agree with much of what you're saying. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am trying to figure out if this will have some unintended consequences. And, everything we do runs that risk. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it's benign. It just changes behavior in certain ways. And so to the extent that people intend to testify on here, I'd like to know if we anticipate that we might see people who plan to work maybe more years but retire at 62 because they can and go back to work promptly, say they've retired at the end of the school year and start again the next year, and do we care? I mean, is there any downside to that? Maybe there's not. I also worry, are we unintentionally squeezing the job market for new teachers? And I know we've had a lot of testimony over the years that we're hiring teachers from outside and trying to bring them in, and maybe we just welcome the retention of those who are able to retire but choose to continue teaching. Do we have unintended consequences for young teachers who can't break into the profession and find impediments? I'd just like to hear if people anticipate that or how they think it'll work.
Those are good questions, and we hope that through this process we do have educators, superintendents, board members, et cetera, come forth to help us understand if, in fact, this is going to be a tool or if this is not going to be a tool. Once again, we put the bill together because we were getting information from educators that this could be a potential tool. So we'll hear it out, and we'll see how it goes.
And, Mr. Chair, if I might just add, it may be that for a small community it would be a wonderful boon, and for another community of a different size or a different function, it might have a different impact. So,
right. Again, I'll just make a comment before we go to public testimony, but as a superintendent, as a principal, as a school board member and president, there's a lot of things in education where you're told you can't. You have to do this. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of regulations, and probably more so today than ever. We would always talk about what can we do? What are some options? What are some possibilities? What can we do here to fill this gap? What can we do there to fill that gap? How do we get an employee that can do this or do that? One of the discussions we had last year was, in our foundation formula, for example, things may have evolved in school districts over the last 10 or 15 years where we may have to look at certain things and how we fund certain things to meet the needs of today's diverse student populations. This is just an attempt, again, at a tool, and the feedback that we'll get from the actual practitioners, the folks involved in the retire side of things, we'll know. We'll have answers to these questions. So I think they're all very good questions. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a question to you as a former superintendent. You know, I don't have an education degree. I'm in the healthcare industry, and education is so interesting because it's so centrally planned. So tell me, are there actually new teachers being educated in our system that can't get jobs in Alaska?
I wouldn't say, I mean, it's kind of an interesting question. I wouldn't say there are teachers, new teachers that can't get jobs. There may be teachers that apply for a job, but the folks hiring them may have a certain profile of an individual they're looking for, and that person may not fit in one community. They may fit in another. But also, you may have an individual, I mean, it happens in every profession, that after you talk to them, you say to yourself, this isn't going to work. It's not going to work for that individual. It's not going to work for these kids. But being in this business for almost 30 years, I've seen situations where, for example, I would talk with somebody, and I would be looking for a teacher, let's say, somebody that could be, we used to call a generalist, somebody could do almost everything, and talk to a great individual, but they didn't have maybe the background, the experience, or the education, even though they knew. But next thing I know, they get picked up by another school district, in which, in that particular setting, they work out really well. Am I making sense?
You are. What I'm contemplating is the concept that these retired teachers who then come back to work are bumping out new teachers coming in. I'm trying to fit that. I don't understand how that could possibly work if we don't have enough teachers.
It's my opinion that they would not bump them out. It's my opinion that those individuals will bring a skill set and experience to certain settings that you would not hire necessarily a brand new teacher for. I mean, this is kind of an analogy, I guess, but you're in healthcare. Let's say you hired four brand new doctors right out of a U.S. school, but their job is to go to a country in Africa, in a remote area of Africa, to do work. But you had an opportunity also, the fifth spot was to hire an experienced doctor that may have done work in Africa in that spot. You might want to hire that person with them so that the culture, the way of doing things with those individuals in that particular community, what works, what doesn't, where are the accoutrements for doing your job, etc. You have somebody that knows that stuff. Where these folks can integrate into the society, integrate into to what they're supposed to do there, without having to wonder, what does that mean when somebody says that? Did I do something wrong? Where do I find this? You may have somebody, it's, I don't mean to look over here, but you may have somebody that's an oldie but goldie that just can bring that.
Age discrimination. I heard it.
Just can bring that. So I mean that's where this is. Then again, you may have a situation where it's a city setting where they want four brand new people because they have experienced people on the staff. So I think this, you'll find situations in Alaska where there are 100% turnover in small communities. So then you're getting brand new folks coming into the system that you may want somebody to come in there and tie that staff together. But again, that's up to this, in my opinion, that's a tool for the school district to decide if that's something they can use. You know, we wouldn't impose it from the legislature, and it wouldn't be imposed from the Department of Education, but it would be a tool. It would be a tool to recruit folks. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I mean, some of us know, that it's an interesting culture, education, all right? So let's just take MATSU. A significant number of teachers start their career as substitute teachers because they can't get hired. and they wander around and they go through the substitute call list and those sort of things. That's okay. That's all right. And then the next echelon is there are some schools that are less desirable than others, and that's where you go to get hired, which creates some turbulence because I go to school A to get hired, and in 2 years I go to school B because that's really where I want to work. But maybe that's the way the life is. And what I would, if possible, if we could expand this, our thought process, because we're really looking for more teachers, and we want people that have experience. So there are some professionals out here someplace in Juneau, Metsu, that have experience, professional experience, that could teach pretty well. And the business of how we get them a certificate is somewhat of a challenge. And I'll just cite one it's an aberration, but it's what it is. A guy named Sam Nunn down in Georgia created a program called Troops to Teachers. So I'm a lieutenant in the Army, captain. I'm getting out, and I say, you know, I'm going to be a teacher. And the program actually paid, I think, up to half of your pay for 4 or 5 years while you rounded out what you need to have an Alaskan teaching certificate. And I guarantee you, in the state of Alaska, you can count on one hand and have several fingers left over the people that could run that gauntlet. I remember coming down here 20 years ago, maybe not 20, Jerry Covey was the superintendent, or the
long
commissioner.
Ago, that's, yes.
Yeah, long time ago. And, you know, I got the old, well, we got to check with the union. We don't hire many of those people. My point is, if there's a way we can broaden this out that looks at a whole bunch of challenges we have, because it's about having more teachers and people that are qualified, and what we've got right now is just a band of that, smaller right. band. So I set it up.
I appreciate that. You know, I have working with the Mentor Project and working in rural Alaska for 20 years, you know, one of the thoughts I have that I've seen is, again, you'll have, I think, more experienced people that know Alaska. They'll know if they want to, for example, work in a rural community. They'll know what they're getting into. They'll know they've done some research on it. They have a pretty good idea where they're going. And so, again, that's a real opportunity. We had a program, and if somebody can chime out, just ended a year or two ago, it was a grant that was able to get folks that had bachelors in other areas, but we were able to take them on for a year or two. What was the name of the grant program? I was actually part of it. I can't remember because I'm getting up there. Yeah, you remember what it was? Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner of Education? It's along the lines of what we're talking about?
Yeah, for the record, it was an alternate route to teaching program called AKT2.
Yeah, that was an AKT2.
Don't remember the whole acronym and what it means.
But, roughly, how many folks did we have go through it over the past, let's say, when it was in existence, the 5 years of the program?
I think we had somewhere in the area of 30 to 40, but I can't say for certain how many ended up with certificates. At the
right.
Year.
I know there's still several out there that went through that program and have certificates and are teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was one out, but that was along the lines of Troops to Teachers. Mm-hmm. But I hear what you're saying, if we can expand that pool. And that's what we're trying to do, is get more tools. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to public testimony at this point. Thank you, Sheila. So, Mary McMahon, are you online?
Hi, my name is Mary McMahon. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mary. Tell us where you're from and what you do, and then you can begin your testimony. Thank you.
Wonderful. My name is Mary McMahon, and I am currently a school principal and also serve as president-elect for the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals.
Thank you.
I'm calling on behalf of all school principals, rural and urban, to speak in support of Senate Bill 79. I myself am originally from Kodiak, Alaska, born and raised. And for the past 17 years, I have served as an educator in Kotzebue, Chivac, and the Matsu Valley. I speak on behalf of all Alaskans as a parent and educator in stating that we want the very best educators working with our students and our children. This bill increases the pool of candidates in order for us to give students in Alaska the best possible education that we can offer them. It is so important during this time, as we experience shortage in securing quality candidates that will effectively serve our diverse schools in Alaska, to increase the candidate pool. I find it of utmost importance that we support and approve this bill. And I heard earlier that there's a concern about people retiring and then coming back in or whatever the concern may be. And I think that I've seen a lot over the years that people retire at a time in their life where that's the best decision at the time. But things may change later, a year later, 2 years later, and that person still may be the very best that we can secure for our schools, our districts. And if something changes in their life, I especially during this time of need, I would love to see them have that opportunity to come back and provide a great service to our school districts in Alaska. So I just want to thank you. I want to urge you to pass this bill, and thank you for your time and dutiful service. I appreciate the work you do, and I'm grateful that I was able to visit with many of you in person when I was in Juneau last month. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Seeing none. Online, we have Lincoln Saito from Barrow. Link, are you online?
Yeah, no, I'm off mute, too.
That would help. Can you identify yourself, who you're with, and begin your testimony, please?
Sure. This is Lincoln Saito. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the North Slope Barrow School District. Our superintendent, Peggy Cowan, met with her administrative team, and we studied this bill, and I'm representing her and the administrative team from the North Slope, voicing 100% support for this bill. You know, we're talking about, some of the senators are concerned about bumping young teachers out of the job pool, and I don't see this as our focus. I don't see our schools as type B schools, as the other senator mentioned, and type A schools. What should be the focus here is the children. Our kids deserve the best education that we can give them. And when we can find a person who has a tremendous amount of experience and is willing to share that experience with our children, even if we're a type B, that's what we should be buying with our money. It's cheaper, and that's our main focus, is that even here up on the North Slope, we are facing some drastic, just as the state is facing drastic cuts. We are a one resource based economy up here, and we are facing some ugly things. We need to conserve our money, and that's the reason why we're focused on supporting this bill, but we are also focused on trying to get the best education that we can for our kids. Back in the 1990s, when you and I were recruiting teachers, we had up to 1,400 teachers at the Anchorage job fair. Last year we were looking at, they said there were 200 registered. I think we were looking at about 140, 10% of what it was in the heyday. We do not have the selection of teachers that we used to have. The baby boomers have a different work ethic. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a lot of people who have made it through the system that have a work ethic that just doesn't quit. They enjoy doing a really good job as opposed to earning a lot. So I guess that's about the time that I should hang this up. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that we want to save money and we want what's best for kids. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Link. Any questions for Link Saito up in Barrow? Seeing none, we're going to go online, and then we're going to go to the audience. One last person online here. Dina Perano, Matsu Borough School District, are you online?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear. Can you state your name for the record, who you're with, and begin your testimony?
Good afternoon, Senator Dunleavy and committee members. My name is Dr. Dina Perano, superintendent for the Matsu Borough School District, and I'm speaking to you today in support of Senate Bill 79. For years, the Matsu Borough School District has accessed the extensive experience and expertise of retired employees and educators by allowing for temporary and part-time employment opportunities. However, our efforts to capitalize on such a talented and veteran workforce have been severely limited without a provision to allow for the unrestricted reemployment of retirees, such as Senate Bill 79 presents. As I understand the proposed bill, districts would be permitted to essentially enter an at-will employment agreement with a retired teacher administrator so long as that individual has been retired for 3 months. Current protections and benefits such as tenure, sick leave, retirement, and health insurance would not be offered or required necessarily, as the nature of the employment relationship with a retired individual is so different. Though some of these limitations are not clearly identified in the proposed bill, we would support their explicit restriction as well as ensuring that the benefits of this bill exist well into the future by also allowing the rehire of retirees under the new defined contribution plan. I want to assure the committee that the reemployment of retired teachers is not pursued in MATSU to avoid the hire of new teachers. Retirees fill gaps when properly certified staff cannot be hired in hard-to-fill areas. They provide temporary or short-term expertise for special projects or initiatives, and they give needed support during high-demand times of the year, such as during the summer months, the start of school year, or during assessment periods. We are encouraged by the possibility of being able to hire retired teachers rather than contract agencies to more effectively and efficiently fill these needs. One of the most attractive aspects of SB 79 is the potential savings our district could experience. Again, because certain costs, most notably retirement and health insurance, would not need to be provided, there are significant savings that could be redirected right back to the classroom environment or even used to hire other new classroom teachers. On behalf of the MATSU Borough School Board, we recognize the fiscal reality that you're facing and appreciate your willingness to provide school districts with increased flexibility and discretion in a time of constricting resources. MATSU embraces innovation and supports creative solutions. We are encouraged by the concept proposed in Senate Bill 79 and see that it has the potential to offer great benefits to our district. I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my support and the support of the MATSU School, and I welcome any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Superintendent Paramo?
Just a statement. Dr. Paramo, Charlie Huggins. You know, we have little contests that happen here. Most of them are informal. One of them every once in a while is my superintendent's better than yours. And, you know, I got to tell you, you're kind of queen of superintendents. You have quite the reputation, so congratulations.
There you go. Congratulations. That's coming from a former president of the MATSU Borough School District. So we have a number of folks in the audience here, and I do want to recognize, too, that we have a fly-in from superintendents and school board members, and I really appreciate that, and I see a number of them in the audience here. So, again, thank you. Pete, you want to come up, identify yourself for the record, please, and then give your testimony? Thank you.
I'm Peter Hefner. I'm on the Cordova School Board. I'm speaking in favor of this bill. This is an excellent bill. We recently, I can tell our story, recently last year our superintendent left us in the middle of July. At that point in time, you realize that most of the superintendents are hired in January through a March time frame. At that time, the pool is almost non-existent of superintendents to hire. We are facing a crisis. We reached out at that point and looked for an interim, and were able to get a pool of interim superintendents, one of which was Rich Carlson. We were very fortunate to be able to have Rich come into our district and show his experience, and he was able to stay with us for this 1 year. He brought a sense of calm to the district. In these situations, when you lose the head of your district, the face of the district, it can make everybody feel unsettled, from the teachers, and it's passed on down to the students. with this new leadership, he was be able to bring a sense of calm to our district, and we've been able to move forward and continue with our continuous growth. It also happens with teachers. We had one teacher who was hired, and they were unable to pass a praxis. They were an English teacher, and they were unable, and they were retired. Well, they'd been retired out of a different system, and they weren't able to pass the math portion of the exam. At that point, we needed to immediately hire a new teacher. This is an excellent tool for districts. Experience is it's such an important value, especially in small areas. Alaska is a different state. Things are done a little differently here. And I do appreciate this bill being brought forth. Also, it is interesting, I'm on the School Board Association. I've participated in 4 superintendent searches. The pool of applicants has dwindled over the years. Even teachers, it was referenced earlier by Link, I believe, that the number of applicants of teachers has declined over the years. Our superintendent just was in Anchorage and was looking for a social studies teacher. He was saying in previous years there'd be a lineup of 40 to 60 teachers. They're not there these days. This would be an excellent bill to fill a position that is needed critically at that time with an experienced individual. The experience, I was talking to another superintendent who is very experienced. He had come into a district and he just happened to be flipping through some documents and noted a $200,000 expense that he was able to recoup back, knowing just the building practices that were here in the state of Alaska. This would have gone unnoticed. This experience, just that in and of itself, paid for his salary. I'm a commercial fisherman, and I know that experience helps. If you know what you're doing, if you've seen something before, you can immediately jump on it and do things to save your district, save lives in the commercial fishing industry. I think experience is an excellent thing, and this is a beautiful tool, and I sincerely appreciate Senator Dunleavy for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Pete. Any questions for Pete? Seeing none, thank you very much. Jim, please come up, state your name for the record, who you're with, and begin your testimony, please.
For the record, my name is Jim Holine. I'm superintendent at Klawock Schools. Thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing me to talk with you today. I'm here to support this bill. And Mr. Huggins, the idea did come from a joint statement from the Superintendent's Association as well as AASB. So this is something that has been discussed by colleagues, and this is something that we've discussed and brought forward. So that just wanted to point that out. Make sure you're aware of that. A lot of good questions and a lot of good points brought up here today. I see this as a very valuable, like much people or many have said in front of me, for those hard to fill positions, the administration positions. We don't have the principals, we don't have the superintendents that we used to. SPED positions in the districts are very hard to fill, and then a lot of times in small rural schools, to succeed and be successful, you become part of a family. You become one in that district, and that's hard to find and it's hard to replace, and being able to have those teachers that are administrators that have those relationships built and allowing them to continue working would be very, very valuable, very valuable. And again, a point, a number I heard today is that the job fair just happened this past weekend. Roughly just less than 300 jobs still exist after the job fair across Alaska. So there's certainly a need for more teachers. I also like to point out that I think the state's going to be having some difficult times in the next few years, and education is not going to avoid that. And having people with experience, having people with efficiency is really going to help ease the burden and help us be successful at the schools. So, again, another point that I'd like you to consider. And again, I would agree, I think Dina pointed out, I don't see this as replacing new teachers' jobs. I really don't. I see it as those hard-to-fill positions that we just don't have the clientele for there. And getting people in those situations is going to be very important. So, again, I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your support of this bill.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions for Jim? Seeing none, thank you very much. Lisa? Please come forward. Lisa Paraday. Please state your name for the record, and you can begin, and who you're with, and begin your testimony, please.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Lisa Skiles Paraday, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators and the Alaska Superintendents Association. And I brought two handouts for your consideration today as I testify. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. And as Superintendent Holleen shared with you, we did discuss this long before the legislative session in our joint position statements, which is being handed out to you. It looks like this, and if you open it and go to the middle section, you'll see a C, and below that is 1, 2, 3. If you go under number 3, you'll read, it's under the section of preparing, attracting, and retaining qualified educators. So you'll see that the Alaska Council of School Administrators, which is representing all superintendents, all principals, and school business officials, prior to the session spent months looking at this language and then taking this language through each of those memberships for approval. So this being included in this document means that it has the endorsement of superintendents, principals, and school business officials. And I wanted to provide that to you because I think it might answer some of the questions that the committee raised. Additionally, this is really basically a supply and demand issue, as we've already heard. It's so important because we have such a shortage in Alaska. And we just have so many unfilled positions today. Some districts even started this current school year not staffed, just struggling to cover classes, and that has been more of a scenario we've seen as of late. It's also reflective of the national shortage of teachers and administrators. The second document I handed out is superintendent turnover, and I think you can see the red. The sea of red is reflective of the number of superintendents that have turned over since 2012. And I personally think it's staggering, but statistically it's the highest number of superintendent turnover in the history of Alaska. This year alone, we've seen more superintendents leave during the middle of the year than Alaska's ever seen before. And really, if you go out 2 years, in well over half our superintendents have turned over. And I share this with you because, again, it's reflective of a national shortage of administrators. In Alaska, our principal turnover rate is around 14%. Our teacher turnover rate is 7% for urban districts plus, and our rural districts is 30% plus. And I talked with Alaska Teacher Placement. You've heard some testimony about that job fair that occurred this last week. I talked to them today. They had 265 teachers or educator candidates attend the Alaska job fair for 707 openings. So I think the concern about taking teacher positions, at least today, unfortunately, is not a concern. I have the breakdown by administrative, etc. But if you add together administrative, elementary, high school, middle school, student support services, there are currently, today, after the Alaska job fair, 467 jobs posted. This number changes on a daily basis because if you're a district, you're posting right now. You're losing those positions and you're adding, you're posting those jobs right now. So that number is going to continue to go up. Several of our districts haven't posted externally because of negotiated agreements. So they might have posted internally and they haven't posted externally. So that 467 number is probably on the low side. I know we had 35 districts registered at the job fair for those 265 candidates. So I looked at it another way just to provide you a little more data, and that is from the University of Alaska perspective. They continue to produce between 200 and 250 teachers a year. Okay. From 2008 to 2013, UA's three campuses or universities or however you want to address them produce steadily increasing number of special education teachers each year. In 2014, that number declined. And that's important because there's very hard to fill positions as well, such as special education. And I think this bill addresses those types of situations where we might pull on someone who has that kind of expertise who is retired. The university faculty identified just over 60% of 2014 new teacher graduates as working in Alaska schools in the fall of 2014. And I believe this is similar to what the Alaska Department of Education data show for new teacher graduates. However, the Alaska Department of Labor data shows that 90% of UA teacher graduates work in Alaska in the year that they graduate. The Department of Labor also said that they also showed that the greatest majority, about 85% of UA education graduates working in the state are working in education occupations. So I think they are working here. And again, there are multiple efforts to increase the pipeline of teacher candidates and support working teachers. Everything from Acklin, Future Educators of Alaska Clubs, Pathways to Professional Certification. I mean, there's just a host of efforts trying to increase the tools in the toolbox to fill these positions. I commend the State Board of Education. They just passed a very, very stringent alternative certification process for superintendents, but that action will allow for another tool for school boards to access to fill superintendent positions and really give them kudos for that. This bill is in that vein. As Senator Dunleavy said, it just allows for districts to have additional tools to try to fill the positions. And I think there's one point I'd like to close on, and that is teacher quality. And I think Senator Dunleavy really spoke to that well, in that, you know, these teachers that we're talking about or administrators are retired from Alaska, and so they're more likely to be in a community, maybe already be integrating into the community. We know that's good for kids. They'll be familiar with Alaska. Many of the teachers that come from Lower 48 have that first hurdle to become acclimated to Alaska before they settle into their teaching jobs. That's certainly not the case for these teachers. So we just, on behalf of the Superintendent's Association and Senator Huggins, it did come from the ranks, if you will, both school boards and superintendents and principals and school business officials. We greatly appreciate Senator Dunleavy bringing this in response to what we see as a huge need in Alaska, and we urge you to consider this bill and move it forward.
Just a question, and it's something that Superintendent Holian mentioned. Was it 300 positions are still unfilled in the state?
Senator Dunleavy, I understand it from, it's 467 current jobs right now posted today.
For next year or this year that are not filled, that have gone unfilled?
It will be for contracts going forward next year. The current number, I do not have that number.
Do we know if there are jobs currently open that have not been filled?
I can certainly get that number for you. I just didn't ask that question.
Any questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you very much for the info. Just a couple of random questions. I remember, let's call it 10 years ago, plus or minus a little bit, we had I'll call it open season, where if you were a special ed teacher, you could have it taken off your endorsement. Would you recommend doing that again, or was that a mistake, or what do you reckon? Because it was, I think, pretty wholesalely practiced and Les may know a better answer on that.
Mr. Chairman, I would defer to Les because I have only been there since 2008.
But we essentially had an open season. If you want to get rid of your special ed endorsement, and now we're complaining about not having special ed teachers. I would hope we would learn from whatever our experience is.
Mr. Chairman, I have a perspective, and then I certainly would like to defer to Les Morse, Deputy Commissioner. But I will tell you, having hired teachers since 2008 in a rural district, we took advantage, availed ourselves of, for example, the teacher program that Senator Dunleavy talked about, AKT2, and hired teachers who took an alternative method to the certification. They were outstanding, and I can tell you they're still in the district I hired for, because they were from Alaska, and they worked with the State Department to get that certification, but they were able to hit the ground running and just were outstanding teachers. So I can't speak to the special ed one, but I can tell you from a practical standpoint, having taken advantage of a similar type program, was extremely successful. Now, it was expensive. And I can't speak to the cost. I know it was discontinued by the department, but from my perspective on the ground, it was hugely successful.
Okay, thank you.
You want us to?
That's okay. If maybe a follow up, it's one of those things. We did it, and we may retrospectively say, that wasn't a very smart move. But if I'm a substitute teacher in the hiring process, do I get any special bonus points for hiring preference, or is that just so what? Or you say, well, you got a little bit of experience, but not much, or how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Huggins, I wouldn't say special points or bonus. I know, from the hiring perspective, if you are a good substitute and you have experience in the district, I think common sense would dictate that you would receive favorable consideration for filling, a position, because it's so hard to find substitutes, particularly in rural areas, that if you're in that capacity and you're doing your job well, my guess is that you would receive favorable consideration. But I'm not sure that it gives you any kind of technical advantage.
Yeah. Speaking of rural teachers, if I had a choice to come back to Alaska and I was 25 years old and I was married, I'd want my wife to be a teacher, and I would want to be a teacher and go to someplace like COTS or wherever out, but I have a super cup along. I'm just asking a question just for my, I get a little bit of foggy memory. There's a master teacher, and there's a, if you're qualified in a subject matter area, what do you call that person?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, highly qualified.
Highly qualified.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
highly qualified teachers, if I'm in school district X and I want to go to Y, do I get any bonus points for being a highly qualified teacher if I'm trying to get hired?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, my understanding, and again, Commissioner Morse can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that if you are highly qualified in District X and you move to District Y, that generally, you've received that highly qualified status, and unless you're changing the content area that you're teaching, that you would have to be highly qualified again, you would not have to go through that, because it's recorded at the state. And so, and if you aren't highly qualified in a specific area, then you have to fill out a plan of how you're going to become highly qualified and file that with the state.
Yeah. And then there's a phenomenon called tenure, where if you go from one district to the other, then you're on a probation for how long?
There's
a probationary period. Yeah, I think, pretty sure. Anyway, you can get back to me on that.
Well, can answer.
So if I'm in school district, I'm in Mat-Su School District, all right, and I want to get a job, and I'm already a teacher, right? So talk us through the process so we all know what we're talking about in education language. So I can do an in-district transfer, right? So there's a posted job. So I can as an in-district person apply for that job. It's called in-district transfer, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then after you, what's the length of time before you clear that hurdle? You say nobody applied or nobody was qualified, and then you go to the next level.
That's per contract negotiated.
Contract, with this, right. This,
yeah. Mr. Chairman and Senator Huggins, Senator Dunlap is right. Those are negotiated agreement items, and it looks different by district. So, for example, in one district it might say that's posted for X number of days and they have a chance for right of, you know, first refusal, but another district it might look different.
Yeah, no, and I only ask that because, you know, those kinds of speed bumps, I'll call them, or hurdles, mm-hmm. you know, have some bearing on being able to rehire people and in-district transfer and whatever the, and I don't know, in this case, Mr. Chairman, where if we enacted the CS for Senate Bill 79 today, whether we would have to have something in a negotiated agreement to make it work. But that was where I was headed. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Good questions. Any more questions for Dr. Perry? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Online, we have Dr. PJ Ford Slack. Are you there?
I am here.
Please identify yourself for the record, who you're with, who you represent, and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I'm Dr. PJ Ford Slack. I'm the interim superintendent at the Hoonah City Schools. I'm one of the superintendents that came in halfway through the year because of a turnover of the superintendent at this little district.
Yeah, PJ, you have some music playing in the back that's kind of like Muzak. We feel like we're in a mall here. Can you...
Sorry, it was a cell phone text. It is off, gentlemen. I'm very sorry for that.
We have ladies here, too, by the way.
I'd like to support this bill and thank Senator Dunleavy for working together with all the associations on bringing this forward. I have just returned from the job fair in Anchorage. I have 8 positions. In fact, the teacher positions are really the only positions that have been preserved. With the cuts that have come to the district, and we're desperately seeking teachers. We had 2 special ed teachers that needed to be filled for, because our school population has a third of the 112 students are special ed identified. So it is increasingly important for us to get not only good teachers and teachers willing to work in Hoonah, which is a lovely spot, but still not on a road system and has some challenges with housing. And the job fair, as with the years I've attended over the past 16 years in Alaska, was very thin, and very thin sometimes on qualified candidates. That means that all of us are sort of going after the same very qualified candidates to try to get them to our district. So, gentlemen, I and any... other women on the panel, please thank you for this consideration. It is extremely important at this time in Alaska to consider this bill. We have a change in how our retirement works. We do not have lots of teachers coming from the lower 48, and we still do not produce enough teachers to satisfy the needs of this great state's children. So I hope that you will consider this in a positive light. And I thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Thank you. Any questions for Superintendent Ford? Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on this particular bill? Seeing none, we're going to leave public testimony open. We're going to move it off to the side because, again, we want to make this the best bill we can, and there may be some questions on it. Just a statement. One of the things that we do well as politicians, see, I'm an educator, so I can say this, is we ladle it on, we add constantly to the agenda of educators. They're supposed to do everything. They're supposed to teach everything. They're supposed to do Department of Health and Social Services things. They're supposed to do, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so we're very good at adding things, but we're sometimes not as good at giving them tools. And, you know, as we move ahead in the future here in Alaska, I'm very, very, very interested in getting from the profession, superintendents, school board members, teachers, paraprofessionals, parents, what are some things that we can do differently that would actually make this a more inviting profession, would be more engaging for families and parents and would have the outcomes that we all want. See, that's the interesting thing. We all want student outcomes. But sometimes the things that we do don't necessarily get us there. Sometimes the things that we do actually get in the way of getting us there. And so, again, this is a tool that's coming from school board members, the School Boards Association, Superintendents Association, and others for us to take a look at. And again, I'm not going to push something that's not going to work for everybody. So far, I haven't seen why it wouldn't, but we need to have this testimony to see where we're at. We do have John Boucher in the audience with the Department of Administration, and I'm not sure if any of the senators would like for him to come up to ask him any questions, but he's here if we do. I don't know if that's a, they used to call it a pregnant pause or a mental pause. I don't know why they call it a pregnant pause. Gave birth to something. Anyway, John will be back on Thursday, and the school will be back on Thursday. So again, if we can think of questions and issues, we want to know what those are. This is not a trophy bill. This is a tool for educators. So whatever we can do to help people, that would be great. Senator Huggins.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would ask is we've heard it, superintendents support this. There are always speed bumps in good ideas. And so I would ask, you know, whatever those speed bumps are, bring them forward so that we're not blindly doing something. So, well, you guys should realize that, but we didn't realize that. So whatever those speed bumps are, bring them forward so we can factor them in and do the best we can. Because I like this bill.
Thank you. So we have two other bills that may be a little different. We have SB 80 and 89. We kind of put them off the side because we're doing some more work on those. But is there anyone here in the audience that wants to come up and just do some general comments on SB 80 and 89? If so, this is your chance. But again, we're looking at changing some of the language in the bills and some of the through CS. So really the focus today was going to be retiree hire. Is anyone else online that wishes to testify on the retiree hire bill, SB 79?
That's a no.
That's a no. Is anyone else in the audience that, at this point, that wishes to testify on SB 79, the retiree hire bill? I don't see anyone. Any questions for members of the committee at this point? Comments before we close? I want to thank everyone for coming. And again, help us make this a better bill. Help us make this a better system as we go forward. And again, I know these folks here sit next to me want to know from everybody associated with the profession, what are some things we can do to make it better as we go forward so we can get the outcomes that we all want. With that, we're going to be adjourned until Thursday. Thank you.